This is Pastor Emery, and the sermon on this side of this tape is one I preached at the Omaha Conference in October of 1972 at Pastor Robert Bell's church, and that will explain the reason for the delayed but rather hilarious laughter during the reading of the letter at the beginning of the sermon. As it turned out, of course, the man who wrote it lived in Omaha, just a matter of miles from Pastor Bell's church. So, of course, the local people realized the incongruity of this man giving that information in the letter, and then here he was, just a few miles from where the truth was preached. The title of the sermon is Isaiah 10, The Destruction of Prophetic Assyria. The fidelity on this tape is not because it was recorded at very low speed at the conference, at 1 7/8 speed, and of course it sounds as if you're speaking somewhat in a, excuse it, and you listen to this sermon on Isaiah 10.
Speaker tonight, a good friend from the sunny climes of Arizona, Michelle Lennon.
Thank you, Pastor Bell. I want to read a letter this evening before I get into my sermon, and I talk to the timekeeper over here and ask for a few seconds in advance. This is just an example of a letter to prove that there is more work to do in the kingdom ministries. This man wrote to me, and I received this letter just the day before I left Phoenix. He says, "Dear friend, I recently read two tracts written by Pastor Sheldon Emery and was astonished to find a true Christian really exists. I have studied for several years and have come to the same conclusions regarding the Jews and the Israelites, but I have never found anyone else who really agreed with my findings. Send me some more information about your church and doctrine. I gather from the titles of some of the other tracts you offer that your church agrees with my findings on the soul, on pig meat, and race mixing. I have never joined a church because all of those that I investigated teach false doctrine." And then he added the end, "After ordering the literature, I would appreciate it if you would send me a list that our church has, as I feel time is growing short for the people of our age, and I am faced with the decision of what church to join." And he signs his name, and he's from Omaha, Nebraska. Now, I just read that because I believe I sat down and wrote the man a letter immediately, sent it airmail, and told him about the conference and the address in your church over here in Fulham. But I read that as an example, as proof that there must be thousands and thousands and thousands, and I suppose in our brethren in Europe, who are looking for the truth of God. They're reading the churches, they're listening to the radio, and they recognize that the preachers are all preaching false doctrine. And there are so few, but there are so few of our ministries out that we miss millions of people who have never heard from a preacher the good one and the identity of the house of Israel. So you, brothers and sisters, just remember that right in your city are people that the Lord is opening the Bible to and exposing the truth of the kingdom and the identity, and they're just looking for people like you. They haven't found you, so you know that there are more to look for than about your radio broadcast in your church. All right, turn with me to the 10th chapter of Isaiah. Prophetic destruction of Assyria. Excuse me. Isaiah writes, "Woe unto them that decree unrighteousness, which they have prescribed, to turn aside the needy from judgment, and to take away the right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey, and that they may rob the fatherless." He starts this chapter out of this division among the prophecies of Isaiah, that there are people who write grievous decrees, laws, that cause poverty, take property away from widows and poor. In other words, this is a condemnation and a statement by God, woe unto them. Apparently, he's going to do something about these people, the fatherless, the widow, and the orphan. And that this does fit the United States of America to some extent, most of you realize, because you know that in the last 2 years, our taxes, the interest on the debt too ill, have reached proportions where now I understand that this last year the average worker worked 5.5 months just to pay the taxes for his state, his municipal government, his federal citizens, and so on his purchases. 5.5 months, almost one half of his working time is spent to pay money to people. And have been acquainted with a number of people, widows, who have been required to move from their homes into small apartments and just barely get along to keep body and soul together after the husband dies, and they have the loss of that regular income. And here in America, this God-blessed nation, we have this power. To whom we flee for help, and where will you leave your glory? And it comes that they will have no help in this time, whatever he's talking about here, time of visitation and desolation. Verse 4, without me they shall bow down under the prisoners, and they shall fall under the slain. That's a very strange statement. These people, in effect, have captured people. They are the ones who have the prisoners. They are the ones who have caused the death. And God says, without him, they, referring to these unrighteous rulers and so on, will bow down under the prisoners, and they shall fall under the slain. Their own prisoners and people they have slain will be the cause of their destruction, as near as can tell from this. In verse 21, speaking of a day, for behold, out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. Now remember, it is strict theological interpretation, not going to punish those who have been forgiven for their sins. So he must be going to punish those who are not repentant, the wicked. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. It is an amazing thing for me, and I'm sure for many of you people, to live at a loss. That the Antichrist world rule, these money manipulators, the men who rule the nations of the world, have caused wars and famines and persecutions and conquests in the last approximately 50 years have killed between 200 million and 300 million people. And yet today, a great host of Christian people are looking forward to a time in the future of a great tribulation. In other words, people forget it. They don't talk about it. They don't know. Isaiah prophesied of a time in the future when the earth shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. I have listened to men who are fairly knowledgeable of the communist conspiracy, and speaking of the word of the slain, they say that one of the major dangers to the Soviet Union and to China before that their captives and the relatives of the people they have slain might rise up and destroy the country of these vicious wicked rulers of the earth. Without me, and remember, without God, without me, they shall bow down under the prisoners, and they shall fall under slain. The people in the slave camps, the conquered people of the earth, and the dead cause the destruction of this unrighteous ruler that he's talking about here. He goes on and gives the name of this system in verse 5. O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger and the staff in their hand is mine. In chapter Isaiah, he is naming this the Assyrian or Assyria. Now, most of your Bible students know that it's also called Babylon. And to turn to Jeremiah, chapter 51, Jeremiah prophesies more or less the same things, only in much more detail. In chapter 49:51, speaking of Babylon. Chapter 51, he says, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up against Babylon, and against them that dwell in the midst of them that rise up against me, a destroying wind. And the rest of the prophecy is about the destruction of another oppressor, at least another name, called Babylon. He says at the end of this, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance, he will render unto her a recompense. In verse 8, Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Howl for her, take balm for her pain, so be she may be healed. So here, Jeremiah is speaking of the destruction of this world system called Babylon. Then verse 49 is a specific statement. As Babylon hath caused the slain of Israel to fall, so at Babylon shall fall the slain of all the earth, or of all the country, as the margin in your Bible may say. In other words, there is the destruction of Babylon because of the Israel people. Because of the slain of the Israel at Babylon, Babylon will fall, or the slain will fall of the earth. So here again, the same idea, that the destruction or the slaying of will cause the destruction of the system which destroyed them. Turn back to the 10th chapter. After reading this, as the Assyrians, the rod of mine anger and the staff of their hand is thine indignation, isn't that strange? God said, I will send him against an hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge. Here we've read a description of an unrighteous system which robbed the people, which has slain, we know from current history, millions of people, and yet God says that that system is the rod in his anger, and he's going to have control. I will send him, this is Assyrian, against an hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him the charge to take the spoil, and to take the prey, and to tread them down like the mire of the street. This terrible system, which we understand on our Assyria, God actually says, I am going to send that against these hypocritical people to rob and to spoil them. So every time I'm going to tell about the international banks and these people who are robbing and plundering the earth, I think of this verse. God says, I'm going to send them there and I'm going to give them a charge. In other words, I'm going to order them and make the way for them to rob and to spoil this temple in the first place. Let's read on. In verse 7, albeit he meaneth not so, neither does his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and cut off nations out of fuel. This Assyrian does not know his God, or these people who make up this Antichrist world system. For he saith, are not my princes altogether kings? In other words, his people are more powerful than they really are. He thinks they're better than they are. Is not Calneh as Carchemish? Is not Hamath as Arpad? Is not Samaria as Damascus? And if you look those up, you'll find that the first ones are Israel cities, the heathen cities. In other words, he says, I can conquer Israel just as easily as I have already conquered the heathen. As my hand hath found the kingdoms of the idols and those great and whose graven images, Israel, shall I not, as I have this Samaria and her idols, so do to Jerusalem and her idols? This ruler of this system, this Assyrian ruler of the earth, says, I can conquer Israel just as easily as I can conquer these other heathen with their idols. In other words, to him, our God is an idol. Jerusalem's God is an idol. And so he's going to... Now, some of you folks that may be new to Israelite identity, I would suggest that you get literature on the book table here, because you will understand that the prophetic Jerusalem is actually those nations where God has regathered the Hutt are the chief. These are the great nations. This is the last nation, as we from current world history, that is falling under the hand of the conqueror called the Assyrian or the Babylonian. He goes on in verse 12. Wherefore it shall come to pass that when the Lord hath upon Mount Zion, on Jerusalem, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his high looks. Just think. God says this is a wicked system. He says it plunders and robs the fatherless and the widow orphan. He says that he has sent us against his people to take this spoil and take this prey. And then when he speaks of the destruction of it, he says, I'm going to do it after he has finished his work. Millions of good Americans work diligently and spend their money and are very fearful and ulcers and everything else trying to get rid of this unrighteous money system called Assyria or Babylon in the scripture. But God says, after he has turned the whole work upon Mount Zion on Jerusalem. In other words, this Assyrian, the rod in God's anger, to complete it before it's going to be destroyed. And goes on and tells some of the reasons why he's going to do it, which are the same as some of the previous verses. For he saith, by the strength of my hand I have done it, and by my wisdom, for I am prudent, and have removed the bounds of the pit. If you've ever talked to any of these people who are involved in this antichrist system which is robbing and plundering our people, you will soon recognize that they have absolutely no idea but that they are doing it with their own intent. They are convinced in their own mind that they're just smarter than us, that they're more subtle, they work harder, and they're doing this purpose, following his statement that he's going to destroy it. He's going to destroy it because they say, I have done this by myself, and have robbed their treasures, and I have put down the inhabitants like a valiant man. In the last 50 years, especially the last 50 years, this world system has marched across the earth, seemingly invulnerable to the attacks of men who oppose it. More people are fighting communism and the international bickers and world finance and so on in America today than ever have in a system that was right on ruling over nation after nation after nation. And many of you good people recognize that this is actually true, that the money they take from us in taxes is often used to subvert and conquer other nations. The war in Vietnam of a small nation of about 19 million people, where refugees from North Vietnam had tasted communism and walked out in a paradise in South Vietnam in order to fight off communism. The United States of America, ruled by these international criminals, has taken our money and our boys and has gone into South Vietnam, and in 10 years has devastated South Vietnam, caused the death of 2 million of their people. Communists destroyed their weapons and their wealth, and now we are waiting for the communists to come in and take it over. In other words, if you think about this for a moment, it would be obvious that the intention 10 years ago was to destroy this bastion of anti-communism in South Vietnam in order to give the communist control of it. And yet these people, still part of the scripture here, which says, they think they've done this themselves. They have robbed their treasure. They've put down the inhabitants like a valiant man. No matter who stands up against them, no matter who fights them, they apparently seem to keep right on winning. The people, and as one gathereth if it are left, have I gathered all the earth, and there is none that moves the wing, or opened the mouth, or speaks. You are living in this time that I believe are under total control of all of the earth. Let's turn to Isaiah 42. I want to remind you of that because someone read this earlier, and I can't stress this enough. That these people have to spoil and rob his nation, including our own. In Isaiah 42 and verse 24, the question is asked, which has an obvious answer in the same verse. Who did or spoil Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? And would to God we could get this message across to the Christian American. If there is anything wrong in the nation, it's because we are sinning against God Almighty. It's not because we're ignorant of what the enemy is doing. I believe that there are millions of Americans who know they're being robbed. They know they're being spoiled. They know the Vietnam War is a hoax and actually is murder of their young sons and so on. They know that. But they don't understand that we, as God's people, are sinning against God, for they would not walk in his ways, his law. And I know myself, as many of you people do, and I'm sure this gentleman who wrote this letter that I read, the President of the Nation, will tell you, we are not under the law, and yet God, over and over, all of us, and in the law itself, told Israel, if they did not obey the law, that certain things would happen. In 2028, I see those things happening to us. Turn me back to that chapter. It's a shame our Christians are not familiar with it. Now I'll read just a few verses, and you think with me about the problems and the trouble in the United States of America. One said, what happened to the house of Israel that could not obey his commandments? Verse 15 says, It shall come to pass that thou wilt not trust thy God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I commanded thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And then he lists all of the things that would happen for disobedience to God's law, statutes, and judgment. Verse 25, thou shalt be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt walk one way against them, and shall be removed into all. Now, many people thought that this was fulfilled back in the Assyrian and Babylonian captivity. But they were aware that in the last few wars, that we, in the United States, England, and they have ended up with soldiers in prison camps all over the world. And I understand that there are several thousand American soldiers from the Korean War and going back to World War II that, unless they have died, are still in Soviet and Chinese prison camps. God said this would happen to you. Flee before the enemy, and would be killed in civil nations. Verse 32, thy son and thy daughter shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them in thine hand. Your government is planning schools and daycare centers where the children will be, the parents go to work, and will be taught all they possibly kept overnight, may be returned to you over the weekend, perhaps to you by the time they reach the age of about 4. You will see them once a month or once every 2 months. God said, Israel, if you keep on disobeying me, you'll actually lose control of your territory. The fruit of thy land and all thy labor shall a nation which thou knowest not up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed all the way. I have a newspaper article here. The headline says, Soviets may buy 1/4 of U.S. wheat. American farmers here in Nebraska and Kansas and Canada are going out in the fields and working all summer to raise wheat. The wheat is harvested and it is eaten. That in the newspaper, said what would happen to Israel. Verse 41. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. And I believe this captivity may be more than we think. Just think of the captivity of sin, alcohol, that is coming upon our seed, our children, and God warned Israel. This would happen. They go into captivity if you disobey. All thy troubles consume. And Joel, if you study the second and chapter, first and second chapter of Joel, you'll find that God identifies those locusts as the people, the bureaucrats and the others that he sends in among the people, rob and destroy them. And in fact, I think he calls them my great army which I sent among you. And I just mentioned that we, as a people, average 5 1/2 months of working, which is taken because we're not under the law, or is it happening because God said this would happen if we disobeyed? Verse 43 and 44 are two verses that Sanford Record and I use over and over when we talk to men in Congress in Washington, D.C. And it's the two most effective verses to get on the subject of money and who we are. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou he shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Now this was to happen to the house of Israel. And in fact, the very things that I just read in here are obvious proof that the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, and kindred peoples are the house of Israel, because that's exactly what's happening to us. And if you make an investigation of the banking system, and if you get hard enough in the office of practically every bank in America, you will find a Jew at head of that bank. And, of course, of the international banking houses also. In other words, if the Jews actually were the house of Israel, they should be in debt. Instead of that, they are the ones to whom we owe the money. So something must be wrong with the preaching that says these people who have all the mortgages are Israel, because Israel is supposed to be mortgaged. And brother, sister, we are. I have an article in this, Billions for Bankers, which I think there are some on the book table out here, by a newspaper article written by Senator Ellender, who has passed away now. He said of the current $400 billion national debt, like a mountain so big it can't be seen. The sum is greater than the debt of all other countries. He went on further to say that at its current capacity,
it would take the Bureau of Printing and Engraving 171 years to print 400 billion $1 bills. We owe these bankers over $400 billion in our printing presses if they print them all on dollar bills. It took 170 years working 5 days a week, 8 hours a day. Those 456 railway boxcars, making a train almost 36 miles long. That's how much we owe. Now, God said the house of Israel was to be the one who was to go in debt, and the people to whom they owed the money would rule over them. Now, I don't have to go into too many details to tell you that the same people who rule over us in many of the bureaus in Washington are the same kindred Jews of those in the verse 46 should read, because they shall, talking of these curses, they shall be upon thee for a sign and upon thy seed forever. This was not given to happen just to old Israel. It was not given just to happen prior to Christ and then not happen or after his death. Because everything that took that in America, given, verse 49, the Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flyeth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. And I understand from talking to linguists that the Russian language is the hardest one for the Saxon people to learn, and very few of our people can understand it. A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor shall favor to the young, and he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy land, until thou be honor brought low, which also shall not leave thee either corn, nor oil, or the increase of thy kind, or flocks of thy sheep, until he hath destroyed thee or brought thee low. And back in Isaiah 10, we are reading of a prophecy of the future when God would send thing called the Assyrian, the Lord in God's anger. And as you read Isaiah 10, that Assyria would do exactly to Israel what Deuteronomy told Israel for disobedience. So whatever is happening, it must happen through the house of Israel. And if you know anything about the world situation today, you know that this is what we call the international banking system of financiers or what. And of course it's economic, because the 14 and chapter 10 of Isaiah, that this Assyrian says, my hand has one gathered eggs to the left, and I gathered all the earth. But the last part of that chapter, I believe, gives us a little hope as to where we are in this prophecy, because it says, and there were none that moved the wing, or opened the mouth, or peeped. And I think we could almost say that somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 to 40 years ago, some of you older men know that 10 or 15 or 20 years ago, there was practically no witness and no preaching, especially on radio, about the money system in America, in Canada, or in Great Britain. And yet today, men are on the radio in scores of cities covering the United States with a soft money system. In other words, some is now opening their mouth and fluttering the wing and peeping. Now, I don't mean to imply that you fellows here preaching is peeping, but this is what was to come to pass. There was to be a time when there was no opposition to the Assyrian. Then later would come the opposition. God goes on and acts, boast itself against him that healeth him, or shall the saw magnify itself against him that shaketh it, as if the rod should sit itself against them that lift it up, or as if the staff should lift up itself, as it were no wood. God acts almost surprised that this Assyrian would try to be anti-God, because it's God who's directing what he's doing. He says they can't do that. Therefore, shall the Lord of hosts, send among here a fat one, this Assyrian, leanness, and under his glory he shall kindle heat of his fire. This Assyrian is going to burning. If you turn to Revelation 18, we also have the money system described here in Revelation 17 and verse 5 and named as Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. In verse 18, the angel tells John that the woman without stars is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So this is this worldwide control system. Chapter 18 is about its destruction. And in verse 8 it says, therefore, her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire
for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Now, I missed some of the early sermons, but I almost heard that Pastor Stassel, I guess it was, who talked about converting. And I heard that the Antichrist world system was to be destroyed by burning, both here in Isaiah of Assyria, and in Revelation of Babylon, also in Jeremiah, and many other places. A burning like the burning of a fire, and here is what is going to be the spark and the light and the flame. Verse 17. And the light of Israel shall be for a fire, and his holy one for a flame, and it shall burn and devour his thorns and his briars in one day. Same time that element that we read in Revelation 18. Well, the light of Israel, of course, we know God's word is a light, is a lamp unto my feet. The scripture describes God's word in many places as a light, and of course the Holy One of Israel is the Lord Jesus Christ. It feels very plain that it is God's word to destroy or set the fire on Babylon or Assyria. And praise the Lord that we don't have to depend upon something that you and I do, or something that we write, or something that we fight, or something that we build up, this system which is going to be destroyed, what is true with it. In verse 18, and shall consume the glory of his forest, and of his fruitful field, both soul and body, and they shall be as when they did their thing, and the rest of the trees of his forest, that's the Syrian forest, shall be through that a child may write them. And it shall come to pass in that day, and we look forward to, that the remnant of the house of Jacob shall no more, that the remnant of Israel, and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob, no more again stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. Today, almost all Americans, even being robbed and spoiled, stand up for the system that is robbing them. So this prophecy is that God's saying they're going to quit holding up Babylon.